and we could lean in and receive what you have for us this morning. I pray, God, that your Holy Spirit helps us, Lord, engage with all of our hearts this morning to receive the words that bring life, I pray, and peace in our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
Must be something wrong with me, Linus. Christmas is coming, but I'm not happy. I don't feel the way I'm supposed to feel. I just don't understand Christmas, I guess. I like getting presents and sending Christmas cards and decorating trees and all that, but I'm still not happy. I always end up feeling depressed.
Charlie Brown, you're the only person I know who can take a wonderful season like Christmas and turn it into a problem.
Maybe Lucy's right. Of all the Charlie Browns in the world, you're the Charlie Browniest.
Sleigh bells in the air, beauty everywhere.
Maybe some of y'all can relate to Charlie Brown. Next week, we're going to be talking about how that story originated and the author of it. But I just think it's interesting. I'll be honest with you. As a little boy, I watched the Charlie Brown Christmas special, but I never caught the meanings of it until I was watching it this past year with my children. And, of course, they were enjoying it, but something started really speaking out to me. Actually, God started speaking to me through the meaning of it. And one of the things that's caught me from the very beginning that he says is something is missing. And I think about Christmas and all the holiday cheer, but it doesn't seem like I'm getting it. And I was thinking about that when I was walking through a store here recently. I walked down the aisle where they had the Christmas cards, and I looked on the Christmas cards going through them. And all of them would say joy to the world and peace on earth and happiness and all those type things when we think of the word Christmas. And I was just thinking, you know, does our lives match up to those cards? And I hope that yours does. But when I look out on the vastness of mankind, especially when you turn on the news, it seems like our lives don't match up to those Christmas cards. And we have these nice little pictures of what Christmas should mean in our minds, but our hearts maybe are missing something. And I think for even us as Christians, we can get off focus and we can really miss the true meaning of what Christmas is supposed to be all about. And so this whole series, I'm wanting us to bring us back to the real central truth of what Christmas is. And I believe God has given us the modern day parable of Charlie Brown to bring us back to that central truth. And you may think, well, I know what Christmas is about. I don't really need this. Well, I just want you to stop for a moment and pause and reflect in your life and let God speak to you, because some of us may be even a few degrees off of true north on this issue. And we may be missing the greatest gift that God wants to give us this Christmas season. Charlie Brown said, you know what, I'm missing something. It doesn't feel right. I like decorating the Christmas trees. I like singing the carols. But something just doesn't feel right. And his friend, if you remember on that, says, Charlie Brown, you're the most Charlie Browniest person I know. You can even make Christmas a bad thing. But I believe Charlie was just being honest. He was just being honest about how he was feeling. And I believe if we can be honest about ourselves, some of us are feeling a lot of the same ways in our lives. And we're going to see in this next clip, Charlie, he goes and seeks out his friend's help, Lucy. I don't know why he would go to Lucy, because she's always treating him bad. But he goes to his friend Lucy for help. And in the end, she doesn't have the answer either. I want you to watch this next clip with me.
I think there must be something wrong with me, Linus. Christmas is coming, but I'm not happy. I don't feel the way I'm supposed to feel. I just don't understand Christmas, I guess. I like getting presents and sending Christmas cards and decorating trees and all that, but I'm still not happy. I always end up feeling depressed.
Charlie Brown, you're the only person I know who can take a wonderful season like Christmas and turn it into a problem.
Maybe Lucy's right. Of all the Charlie Browns in the world, you're the Charlie Browniest.
All right now, what seems to be your trouble?
I feel depressed. I know I should be happy, but I'm not.
Well, as they say on TV, the mere fact that you realize you need help indicates that you are not too far gone. I think we better pinpoint your fears. If we can find out what you're afraid of, we can label it. Are you afraid of responsibility? If you are, then you have hypangeophobia.
I don't think that's quite it.
How about cats? If you're afraid of cats, you have alerophasia.
Well, sort of, but I'm not sure.
Are you afraid of staircases? If you are, then you have climacophobia. Maybe you have thalassophobia. This is fear of the ocean. Or gerophobia, which is the fear of crossing bridges. Or maybe you have pantophobia. Do you think you have pantophobia?
What's pantophobia?
The fear of everything.
That's it!
Actually, Lucy, my trouble is Christmas. I just don't understand it. Instead of feeling happy, I feel sort of let down.
Incidentally, I know how you feel about all this Christmas business. Getting depressed and all that. It happens to me every year. I never get what I really want. I always get a lot of stupid toys or a bicycle or clothes or something like that.
What is it you want?
Real estate.
In the end, Lucy doesn't have the answer for Charlie also. And she says, you know what, I'm missing something also. I keep getting bicycles and toys and all that stuff. I'm not really getting what I really want. And then she thinks what she really needs is real estate. I love that answer, by the way. And he's left wanting, he's left needing something more than what he's just going through the motions. And my heart for you as a church is I don't want you to just go through the motions this Christmas. I want you to have the best Christmas you have ever had. But to do that, I've got to get you back on true north. And the true reason for Christmas, the true reason we have celebration, the true reason that we can have joy is because of Jesus Christ. You're like, yeah, preacher, I knew you was going to say that. But what? I want to tell you why Christ came. He came for a lot of reasons, but I feel like this one reason, if we don't grab hold of this truth, we could really miss the real meaning of Christmas, and we could sing the songs, we could go through the motions, and we could still be missing something in our heart. The real reason that Christ came that first Christmas, and the real reason we celebrate Christmas today, is because Jesus came to give us peace. Peace. That's what Charlie Brown was missing. That's what the rest of the Peanuts gang are going to be struggling with through the rest of this movie that we're going to watch and walk through. What about you? Are you missing that? Are you missing that inward peace? And I'm not talking about a circumstantial happiness. Charlie thinks, well, I'm just not happy. How many of you guys realize happiness comes and goes, right? I'm talking about a lasting peace that holds you secure, that gives you a joy. See, joy springs out of a peace in your heart. And to have that peaceful heart, you've got to refocus our lives back on the real meaning of what Christmas is all about. When I think about the story of Christ, it's just astonishing to me. In the Old Testament, there were 300 prophecies written about Jesus Christ. 300 prophecies. And every one of them was fully fulfilled through the person of Jesus Christ. Every one of them. I'm not talking about just a few. I'm talking about every prophecy that was written about the coming Messiah was fulfilled through the person of Jesus Christ. One of the college classes I took in college was called statistical analysis, and I hated it. It was awful. And because we always had to formulate formulas to figure out the statistics of how things and the frequency of things happening. And I remember reading a study about the statistics of Jesus being the actual Messiah that was prophesied all throughout the whole Testament. And it was the idea of filling up a container the size of the state of Texas with quarters, 3 feet high, 3 feet deep, full of quarters, and one of them, only one of those quarters, being red. And you walking up to that huge container, if you're able to, and just sticking your hand down in all those quarters at random and pulling up the only red quarter out of all those. That's the frequency, that's the statistics of how Christ could have fulfilled all of those prophecies. How many of you guys believe that was a God thing? It wasn't left to chance. It wasn't just, oh, well, you know, I think Jesus kind of fits the mold, let's make him the Messiah. No, God had a purpose on this. He wrote the plan out, and he fulfilled every promise was fulfilled by his word. And actually, the statistics of that is 1 to the 17th hundredth power. That's like 4 quadrillion percent that Jesus was the Messiah. That's not left up to chance, right? This is not left up to chance. God had a part of that. One of those prophecies written about Christ was in Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. You may have heard it before at Christmas time, but we're going to really focus on this verse during this message this morning. He says, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given." The best gift you could ever receive this Christmas is to receive Jesus Christ, to receive the peace that you have for your life. And by the way, how many of you guys are thankful you don't have to work for this gift? Amen. It's a grace gift. God gives it to you freely. "Unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulders, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father." Now watch this. "Prince of Peace." Prince of Peace. One of the names that was given to the Messiah, Jesus Christ, is Prince of Peace. Now you may have heard that before. I actually saw it on one of those cards that I was looking at as I was going down the aisle. And I thought for a moment, what do people think of when they think of the word Prince of Peace? I actually asked a few people this question last night, actually, and they were giving me some responses back, and I was like, yeah, you're right about that, you're right about that, you're right about that. But I believe we're just a little off of the true meaning of what this word means. So let's go back to the original writing, the Hebrew language here, and let's look at it together. The word is Sar Shalom. That's Prince of Peace in Hebrew. Sar Shalom. Now the word Sar is the word that the Romans would hear the Jewish people speak, and they would later kind of form their own word meaning czar. Maybe you've heard that before in our government, a czar over different things. They got this word, and they kind of formed their word Caesar from. So this person actually is the one in charge, the Lord, the chief, the general. When you think of the word prince, you may not think of that. When you think of the word prince, at least me anyway, because I don't have that understanding a lot of times of people who live in that monarchy, I think of the word prince, I think of just a spoiled brat that's just living off of everybody else, right? I just think of somebody just kind of, he doesn't really have any real power or authority. He's just getting to enjoy all the benefits. So when you think of the word Prince of Peace, I just think of somebody just is full of peace and he's getting to enjoy everything. But that's not what the word means. The word literally means the chief of priests, the chief of peace. The chief, the one in charge of dispensing peace to everyone else. He's the ultimate one in charge of peace. By the way, I want to let you in on something. The devil doesn't control your peace. Come on, somebody. We get so mad at the devil. Oh, the devil's just trying to steal my peace. He's trying to do it. No, the devil has no authority over your peace if you're a child of God. The one who can ultimately is in charge of peace is the prince, the czar of peace, and that's Jesus Christ. And that shalom, many people are familiar with that. That's the Hebrew word for peace. And it just means rest, tranquility, wholeness, completeness, contentment. That's what that word means. So it's not necessarily, you know, I've got peace because everything's going right for me. We need a peace even when things aren't going right. Because Jesus didn't promise us on this earth that everything would go right for us. He promised us that we would have peace in the midst of our pain and our struggles and our problems. And so he's promised that for us. And he's the one, listen to me, he's the one that has the authority, the legal right, and the resources. He has the right and the resources to give you the peace. Isn't that good? He has every right to give it to you because you're his. And he has ultimate resources. His peace doesn't run out. It's like God is love. Well, does God stop being love when he judges people? He doesn't stop being love. He's continually love. And Jesus doesn't stop being a giver of peace. We just have to turn our hearts back from it. So the truth is, when we get off of the north, when we start walking away from peace, and we start looking at all the problems of the world and focusing on our own issues, and we start missing peace, it's not that Jesus has changed. Who has changed? We have. We have gotten off of true north in our life. And so I want you to have the best Christmas ever, but for you to have the best Christmas ever, we have got to get centered, focused, in line, underneath the authority of the Chief of Peace. Right? So, how do we do that? What is it that God is calling us to in this idea? Luke chapter 2, verse 13 and 14. One of the accounts of the birth of Christ is to the shepherds. It says, suddenly a great company of heavenly hosts appeared with the angel praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men whom his favor rests. How many of you guys thought that verse said peace to the earth? And let the earth have peace because Jesus has come. By the way, it doesn't say that. How many of you guys realize if it said that, something would be wrong because there's not peace here, right? Who does it say peace to? Peace to men whom God's favor rests. So God wants to give you peace in the midst of all the problems and in the trials and tribulations going on around you. I love the next verse, John chapter 14, verse 27. Jesus said, I'm leaving you with a gift, peace of mind and heart. And the peace I give isn't fragile like the peace of the world gives. So don't be troubled or afraid. That's what God is offering you. God is offering you something sound in the midst of trouble and a storm going on around you. He's offering you something secure. Romans chapter 5, verse 1 tells us this, though. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace through God, through our Lord Jesus Christ. Notice that, the Lord Jesus Christ. It's the same idea of the Prince of Peace, the Chief. If you want peace, you've got to go to the Chief of Peace. You've got to go to the Chief of Peace, and you've got to be underneath the rule and reign of the Chief. The next verse, Psalms 4, verse 8, the psalmist says, I will lie down and sleep in peace, for you alone, O Lord, make me dwell in safety. There's nobody else to give it to me. This world can't offer it to you. This world can't give it to you. By the way, more presents or even real estate can give you that peace that you think you're needing. Only God and God alone, only the Lord, only the Chief of Peace can offer you the peace that passes all understanding, that gives you that hope, that security in the midst of this. And Charlie Brown was wrestling with that issue. He was thinking, well, maybe I'm missing out on something. Maybe I'm not getting what I want. Lucy says she needs something that she's asking for and she's not getting. Other people are going to be wrestling with that issue. And Charlie Brown and the Peanuts game weren't the only ones that were wrestling with this. If we'll turn back to the original Christmas story in Luke chapter 1, Mary, the mother of Jesus, was wrestling with this issue. Look at what happened here in verse 26. On the 6th month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a village in Galilee, to a virgin named Mary. She was engaged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of King David. Gabriel appeared to her and said, greetings, favored woman. The Lord is with you. Now stop there for a second. So an angel shows up to her and says, heck, greetings, favored woman. The Lord is with you. That's that same idea of the Chief, the one in control, the one who rules, who reigns, who has the authority. The Lord is with you. Now, she did what I would have done if an angel would have popped up and said, hey, you're favored and the Lord is with you. The next verse tells us what she did. She was troubled. She was concerned. She was perplexed, confused, and disturbed. Mary tried to think what the angel could mean. What does this mean? What does that mean for me? That God showed up today. God is speaking to your hearts today, and he says, you're favored. Well, my life doesn't look favored. You know, I've been struggling at school. I've been struggling at work. I don't have money to buy the kids the gifts I think they should have. I don't feel favored. Mary wasn't feeling favored. She was considered just a nobody. She was given in marriage to someone, but that hadn't gone through yet, and she was just kind of left in this limbo in her life. And she was here. God was saying, you're favored and the Lord is with you. Notice how he says that. If you want my favor, you have to accept me as Lord. If you want my favor, you have to accept me as Lord. You have to submit your heart to the idea that I know what's best for you. I have what's best for you. And she has the response that many of us have, that the Peanuts gang has. They're confused. They're disturbed about this. And maybe you're finding yourself at that moment. I don't know. I don't know. God says he loves me, but things aren't panning out. God says he'll supply all my needs, but I'm not getting the real estate. You know, or I'm supposed to be having this, or I'm supposed to be having that. This shouldn't have happened. And you're confused and you're disturbed. Can I tell you something? God's okay with that. He was okay with Mary being that way. And he'll help us, even in our confusion. But Mary was wrestling with the truth. She was wrestling with the truth that the secret to the peace that she needs and we need and the Peanuts gang needs, the secret of peace is to accept the Lord of peace. He has to be Lord. He has to be Lord in our lives. See, maybe you're at the point this morning where you're thinking, you know, I want peace. I want what God has for me. But you've been wrestling with this idea of why is it not happening in my life? You see, Charlie Brown, he wrestles with that. He's going to turn to his friends. You see, when a lot of times when God starts wrestling with us, he wants us to be alone with him. But how many times do we just run off to our friends and our family trying to look for answers? And so Charlie runs off to his friends and saying, you know, what is it that I'm missing? Maybe it's money. Maybe it's more presence. Maybe it's something. Maybe I need to be a part of something productive. Maybe I need to do more good things. I want you to watch the struggle in this next clip.
How would you like to be the director of our Christmas play?
Me? You want me to be the director of the Christmas play?
Sure, Charlie Brown. We need a director. You need involvement. We've got a shepherd, musicians, animals, everyone you need. We've even got a Christmas queen.
What's going on here? What's this? Find the true meaning of Christmas? When money, 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 spectacular, super colossal, neighborhood Christmas lights and display contest. Lights and display contest? Oh no!
I've been looking for you, Big Brother. Will you please write a letter to Santa Claus for me?
Well, I don't have much time. I'm supposed to get down to the school auditorium and direct a Christmas play.
You write it and I'll tell you what I want to say.
Okay, shoot.
Dear Santa Claus, how have you been? Did you have a nice summer? How is your wife?
I have been extra good this year, so I have a long list of presents that I want.
Oh, brother.
Please note the size and color of each item, and send as many as possible. If it seems too complicated, make it easy on yourself. Just send money. How about 10s and 20s?
10s and 20s? Oh, even my baby sister.
It's good to laugh at them, but I think our life models that so much. We're upset, and we want more and more and more. Maybe if I can get this. Maybe if this pans out for me. And we're still resisting the urge that God is telling us, will you submit your life, will you surrender your life to my Lordship? And let me be the one who gives you peace, not things. You see, they were missing it. They were trying to find their own way and looking for more and more stuff. And Mary, as she was struggling with this idea, she could have missed it. If you think for a moment, what if Mary would have responded differently? What if she, in her confusion, in her struggle with it, would have walked off? Because she would have had every right to walk off. We wouldn't have blamed her. This was a hard burden, maybe, that God was laying on her. But God was wanting her to have ultimate peace in her life. See, God wanted to even bless Mary that first Christmas to give her peace. The Bible tells us in Luke chapter 1, verse 30, the angel says to Mary, "Do not be afraid," the angel told her, "for you have found favor with God." You notice how he keeps saying, "You've got favor, you've got favor, you've got favor this morning." God wants to bless you. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be very great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his ancestor David, and he will reign over Israel. His kingdom will never end. But Mary asked, "How can this happen? I'm a virgin. I don't know how it's going to work out. Look, there's something missing here. God, I'm not even married yet. How in the world can this happen?" And we put ourselves in that moment. This is the moment right here to where we can either say, you know what, maybe God wants to do something in my life. Maybe he does want to bless me, but I don't see how it can happen. Think about your situation. Maybe it's almost as impossible as Mary's situation. There's just no way for it to happen. I just don't even think it can happen in my life. I don't know if I can really have peace. Have you seen my life? Have you seen what's going on in my life? I just don't know if it can happen. That's the moment. Listen to me. This moment, this Christmas, for your life, this is the moment that's the most critical moment of all. When you get to that final question of like, I don't know how peace can happen for me, at that moment, you're left with a response. Either to take it up on your own strength or finally surrender. Finally let go. Because when you come to the end of yourself, you don't need to struggle for more rope. You need to let go of the rope. And trust that the Lord loves you. And he does have favor for you. It's at that moment that we make a decision either to trust the person of Christ or come up with our own plan. And how many times have we done that? Anybody else besides me on your third, fourth, fifth, sixth plan, you know? Why don't we just trust God? You see, Charlie Brown, they seem to come up with their own plans. Lucy wants real estate. She's got her little can there, and she charges 5 cents a pop when she gives you some advice for real estate. Snoopy, did you know what Snoopy was doing? Finding the real meaning of Christmas? Money, 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 by decorating his doghouse to win a competition. Charlie Brown's little sister writes out a list. Make sure you give me everything on this list. Oh, by the way, I've been especially good. Doesn't that sound like us with God? God, haven't I done this for you? Haven't I tried to do this for you? I've been especially good maybe this past week. I can't speak for the whole year. But maybe this past week I've done especially good for you. Can you do this for me? Can you do this for me? God loves you in spite of your weaknesses. And he has come to give you favor. God didn't choose Mary because she was the most perfect one. God chose Mary because she was the most surrendered one. He said, I can use you. Your favor, my favor has found you. They missed it. We miss it too. Why? Because we won't surrender. That's why I wanted to give you last week's message, because it's the launching pad for what God has for you right now. If you want the peace this Christmas, you've got to be willing to surrender to his lordship in your life. You see, peace isn't the absence of problems or the addition of stuff. Peace can only be found in the person of Jesus. The person of Jesus. Luke chapter 1, verse 35, the angel replied, the Holy Spirit will come upon you. That's what will happen, Mary. How can this happen? The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the baby to be born will be holy, and he will be called the Son of God. By the way, do you want a holy peace or your fragile peace? What do you want? If you want a holy peace, you've got to trust God and let God's power work in you. For the Word of God will never fail. Will you read that last part with me? For the Word of God will never fail. Will never fail in your life. I love Mary's response in verse 38. Mary responded, I am the Lord's servant. May everything you have said about me come true. And then the angel left her. And by the way, I would love to read through the Gospels and find where the angel came back and encouraged Mary a few days later. But that's not what's there. From this point, Mary didn't see another angel. Ever. That's recorded in the Gospels anyway. The angel left her when she said, oh God, I'll surrender to you. Here I am, Lord, today. It's Sunday. I'm really feeling it. So here I am. I'm surrendering to you. And the angel says, okay, great. But I'll come back Monday and make sure you're still walking that path. That's not what happened. It's just, I'm here. I'm making a commitment to lay it down before you. I love this passage. There's three things I want to point out to you quickly in this passage. If you're going to receive the Prince of Peace in your life, you've got to make this sure, just like Mary did. Number one, you need to make sure this Christmas that you get under the lordship of Jesus Christ. You need to make sure in your life that you get under the lordship of Jesus Christ. I love Acts chapter 10, verse 36. Says, you know the message God sent to the people of Israel, telling the good news of peace through Jesus Christ, who is, say it with me, Lord of all. He is the Prince, the Czar of peace. He has the authority, and if you want peace in your life, you need to get under lordship of Jesus Christ. And the great illustration of this is that you have been standing outside in the rain for too long. You need to get underneath the shelter of who Christ is. Under the shelter of his wings. Underneath the shelter of his wings. And to do that, you've got to submit yourself to his plan for your life. Underneath his lordship. Under it. Maybe you've been standing out here and you've been wondering why all the rain is hitting you. Well, if you're like me, after a while of getting wet, you realize, hey, I don't need to stand out in the rain and just be mad that it's raining on me. I need to get underneath the shelter. I need to put my life underneath his authority. If you want his protection, if you want his provision, you need to place yourself underneath his authority. Underneath his lordship. Right? It seems logical, doesn't it? See, God loves you. And so many times I act like the rebellious teenager. And I want to have all the good things that's in my Father's house, but I don't want to live underneath his rules. Come on, somebody. And what has your Father told you, like he's told me? Son, if you're going to live in this house, you're going to have to live underneath my rules. If you want to use my money to drive, if you want to watch my TV, that's my TV, boy. You know, if you want that, you've got to live underneath my rules. And he loves me, and his rules are ultimately good for me. Isaiah chapter 32, verse 17 and 18 says, the fruit of righteousness, by the way, that's living according to God's rules, will be what? Peace. The effect of righteousness will be quietness and confidence forever. My people will live in peaceful dwelling places, in secure homes, in undisturbed places of rest. That's God's promise for you. That's God's. When you place your life underneath his authority, you'll have the fruit and the effectiveness of righteous living, placing yourself underneath his rules, and then you'll live in a shelter, in a home that has peace. So you need to get underneath the lordship. Where in your life, like me a lot of times, are you acting like a rebellious teenager? You just haven't given him that place in your life. You haven't. And you've been wondering, why isn't God blessing me? You're standing out in the rain. You need to get in the house. So get underneath the lordship of Jesus. Number two, bring Jesus into every situation. If you want peace in every situation, guess who you have to invite into every situation? The Prince of Peace. The Prince of Peace. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 16. Now may the Lord of peace himself give you peace at all times in every way. And then he says, the Lord be with you all. By the way, that wasn't a wish, that was a command. He was commanding them. The Lord better be with you all. He better go with you. He better go with you in your workplace. He better go with you in your home. You better invite him even into your arguments. If you want peace, Jesus has to be there. Amen? He's the one that changes the atmosphere. Invite him there. He's the one in charge. I just love this. I love walking in this because I honestly believe, taking this even a step further, I can walk into the most chaotic situation. I won't go into detail, but we had a little chaotic situation where my little 8-year-old, he thinks he's 25. My little 8-year-old thinks he's 25. And he can talk and he can argue like a 25-year-old, by the way. And my wife, I fall into it sometimes, but she fell into the trap, buddy. He had woven it tight, and she just fell right into it, and they were arguing back and forth. And so I just walked in, and I said, Jesus is in here. And they both looked at me, and I said, Jesus is in here. And they just had to be quiet. What do you mean Jesus is in here? Jesus is in here. He came in with me. And the Prince of Peace is in this situation. And guess what? Peace happened. Peace happen. Invite Jesus. I love doing this in the community. I know places in the community that are just, I went to a gas station. Man, there was no peace in that gas station when I pulled up at that gas station. There was nothing peaceful going on. There was some arguments going on outside and inside. Somebody's going to get shot in here sooner or later. And I just walked in. I said, Jesus is in here with me. Jesus is in here with me. I didn't say it loud. I just said, Jesus is in here with me. And guess what happened? Man, it was almost weird how it happened. Man, just peace started happening. See, the Prince of Peace, he's in charge. Come on, somebody. He's in charge. Take him with you. Let him be everywhere you go. Philippians chapter 4, verse 8 through 9. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. Guess what he says? He says, if you'll put this into practice, who will be with you? The God of peace will be with you. If you walk into a situation and not just, you know, just think of your first things and say the first thing that comes to your mind, please don't do that. But invite God to be with you. Invite Christ to be with you. So bring Jesus into every situation. That leads me into my third point. Keep your mind on Jesus. Constantly keep your mind on Jesus. Isaiah 26, verse 3. You will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. Let me just say it this way, guys. I can tell whether or not I'm trusting God if my mind is on him or not. Isn't that true? If your mind is on solving your own problems, scheming your own way, fixing your own solution, working, scheming, skiving, if your mind is on all that stuff or what you can do for you, if your mind is on that, you're not trusting Jesus. I can tell if you're trusting Jesus if I can look in your mind and see where it's at right now. Where's your mind at? Where's your mind at? Is your mind stayed on him? Is your mind focused on him? And he promises that he will keep us in peace. He will keep us in peace if our minds stay focused on him. This Christmas, make sure you keep your mind on Christ. There's going to be so many things to get your mind off of Jesus. So many things. Listen to me, church. Keep your mind focused on him. Keep your mind focused on him. And when you find your mind wandering off, ask the Holy Spirit to help. Help me, Holy Spirit. Help me focus my mind on Jesus. Focus my mind on Jesus. The Peanuts gang, they didn't do this. Charlie eventually thinks that his peace will come if he leads, if he directs their Christmas play. He was just set up for a problem right there. And in the other gang, they didn't realize it either. And Charlie tries to make it happen in his own way to get the results that he thinks he needs to get. And I want you to watch what happens in this clip.
All right, quiet everybody. Our director will be here any minute and we'll start rehearsal.
Director? What director?
Charlie Brown.
Oh no, we're doomed.
This will be the worst Christmas play ever.
Here he comes! Attention, everyone! Here's our director!
Man's best friend.
If I spread my hands apart, it means slow down. It's the spirit of the actors that counts. The interest that they show in their director. Am I right? I said, am I right? Now, we're going to do this play, and we're going to do it right. Lucy?
You ever felt like that? Sometimes I walk into my kids' room, and they're fighting with each other, and I'm like, can anybody hear me? Is anybody realizing what needs to happen here? I walked into family situations sometimes as our family gets together at Christmas, and my family on my side anyway, they love to fight for some reason. And it's just, you walk in there, and you're like, can anybody hear me? We're supposed to have a peaceful Christmas here. Come on. And it just gets more and more chaotic. That's what was happening with Charlie. He was trying to get control. And he even got the megaphone trying to get control. But nope, he was completely out of control. What about you? Are you trying to get control in your life? Trying to make it right? We're going to have a Christmas card Christmas if it kills you. And We're going to do it. We're going to do that. We tried to do that one time. Our kids were going nuts, and we had this little Christmas story that we was trying to lead them through, and they weren't listening. It was just the wrong time to do it. By the way, don't try to do things with kids right before their bedtime. You know, so they were just wild, going nuts, and it was just like, you're going to love Jesus, or I'm going to beat you silly. You know, like, it's wrong. I was frustrated. How can I tell you're not underneath the authority of God's peace in your life? You're frustrated. How about you? Are you frustrated? You frustrated? Frustrated in your life? We're going to leave Charlie Brown there for this week, but we're going to come back to him next week. I want you to come back out and invite somebody with you, because we're going to see they find the real meaning of Christmas eventually. But you don't have to wait for that. I want you to look back at our first verse, Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, in closing. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. And watch this. And the what? Government. Say that with me. And the government will be upon his shoulder. He's the one that has to be in charge. What? Why? 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 Because you can't bear the weight of it. Amen? You can't. Maybe the reason you're not having the peace that you really need to have this Christmas is because you've just gotten a little bit off of that truth. And you're taking back things on your shoulders. And the first sign that shows me that I've taken things back on my shoulders is I start getting frustrated. Why won't these people get their act together? Why won't this happen? Why do you keep spending money at Walmart? Weight just pushes down, because I can't bear the weight of that. Whose shoulders is promised that we could cast our cares upon him? Because he cares for us. It's Jesus. But you have got to get back underneath the lordship of Jesus Christ. You have to. Now, some of you here this morning, you need to make this real. You've played around for too long. You've been like one of the kids that's looking from the outside in the rain through a window at this whole idea. It's time for you to get in the door. It's time. Stop. Stop. I told you a few weeks ago, some of the most miserable people in the world are those who are riding the fence. Stop and submit yourself to God. He's promised to be the prince over your peace, but you've got to make him in charge. You've got to submit yourself to his plans for your life. Is that you? Why don't you bow your heads with me? If you're here this morning, and you're honestly, you can relate a lot. We've laughed through those episodes with Charlie Brown, but you can relate a lot to it. You've been struggling. You've been even trying to get control, and more things are falling apart. And you need to submit yourself, not just to peace, but you need to submit yourself to his lordship. Let me put it this way. Listen to me. If you don't make him the Lord over your all, then he won't be your Lord at all. You've got to submit yourself to him. You've got to trust in his ways and his plans. If you're honest with me this morning, you would say, you know what, Pastor Chris, I've tried to make him Savior, but I haven't made him Lord. He's not just described as Savior. He's described as Lord and Savior. It's time. And if you need to get your heart right with him this morning, with nobody else looking around, just raise your hand and say, that's me. I need to get this right. Thank you. Anybody else? Thank you. Thank you. One more time around. Anybody else? Yeah. God sees those hands. He loves you.